Chapter 6. By morning, I had a plan. As soon as I thought the law office had opened, I gave Ron a call. Jackie answered, and I asked if Ron could see me around 11. "Do I sense that this is about Miss Evangeline?" Jackie asked. "Yes, it is, actually. Remember I told you and Pat that she hadn't made a will? Well, I guess she did, of sorts. She wanted it kept secret. But she's gone now, and I don't think the secret part matters. I have a paper she and I both signed. She wanted me to take pictures for the Historical Society. You see, she planned to leave the estate to the Society instead of to her family. I need to know what Ron thinks about it." "Oh, Ned, that's amazing! The Historical Society? What a disappointment for any of her family who have hopes for inheriting. Ron can certainly give you some advice." Jackie ascertained that I could see Ron at 11. After saying goodbye, I sat quietly on my kitchen chair for a minute, finishing my coffee. Jackie was right. The Carver heirs would be furious, probably. Furious enough to keep her wishes from going into effect. I remembered the noise Miss Evangeline had heard when she had me get up and look down the hall. Had someone been listening to her plans? But in reality, why should I even worry about it? I should leave it with Ron and forget it. Mixing metaphors, as I was prone to do, I could just let the chips fall where they might and not dip my paddle into the stream and muddy the waters. Thing of it was, I did know what Miss Evangeline wanted done, and, like it or not, I had her directions. If possible, I'd like to know if Miss Evangeline's death was an accident. Swallowing the last gulp of coffee, I got up, gave Ulysses a pat on the head, and told him to guard the house. Penny had eaten earlier and now, undoubtedly, was upstairs, curled on my pillow, enjoying one of her long naps. Grabbing the camera I had left on the table last night, I went out the kitchen door to my car parked in the attached carport Dink Renfro built last year, to my eternal gratitude. Getting in, I drove down my long driveway past the carriage house. Lights in the kitchen told me that Cora D was awake, but Gerald's car was gone, so he was probably already on the job. Once again, I thought of how blessed I was to have that young couple so near. Pat's son was a hard-working, trustworthy person, preaching on Sundays at Rose Chapel and studying nights for a law degree. And Cora D, despite the bad reputations of her father and uncles, was a sweet, loving girl. I aimed my SUV out of town toward the Carver estate. How would I find the exact spot where Miss Evangeline had died, and why was it important that I see it? What did I expect to find? I had no idea how far from the barn it was, nor how hard it would be to find, or even if I'd know when I found the right place. Although I did not plan to sneak in, the wisest thing would be to keep a low profile. So, after turning off the main road into the Carver's private drive, I pulled to the side, parked, and got out. This time, I chose the left fork at the place where the driveway divided. Following it, I walked to the back of the house. As I had guessed, this led to a detached, double-car garage. Still skirting the house, and keeping trees and bushes between me and the guest cottages, I headed toward the barn. Ken was brushing a shiny black horse, standing patiently in the corral. He looked up as I approached. Not knowing what sort of reception I'd get, I thought I'd better jog his memory. "Hi, Ken. I'm Ned McNeil, in case you don't remember my name. I met you yesterday, but I didn't catch your last name." We shook hands, a small grin quirking his mouth. "Ken Riley, ma'am." "Of course I remember. What can I do for you this morning?" "First, I want to offer my sympathy. You knew Miss Evangeline, maybe for a long time, and I had just met her, but I'm terribly sorry about her death. I wish I had known her longer than a few hours." "Thanks," he said. "She was a great lady. I've worked here on the farm for a lot of years. Seems impossible she's gone. And having to die like that, just lying on the grass, hurting, well, it's not right. On the other hand, She died doing what she loved, riding that favorite mare of hers. His eyes narrowed. As I said, what can I do for you? Did you have some unfinished business with Miss Evangeline? Taking a deep breath, I lifted the camera that hung from my neck. Miss Evangeline wanted me to take some pictures of the farm. That's why I have the camera. His face hardened and he shook his head. No, I don't think that'd be a good idea now. Besides, if you wanted pictures, why didn't you stop up at the big house? I imagine those relatives of hers are there, probably deciding on who gets what. I had told Ken the truth, but not the whole truth, and evidently that wasn't enough. Without knowing whether it was a wise thing to do or not, I decided to state the real reason I was there. Actually, Ken, I want to see the place where Miss Evangeline died. Why? How could I say this without sounding like I suspected her death might not be accidental? I just want to see if I can find anything that might look, well, I hope you understand. I want to see if I can find anything at all that might have spooked her horse or caused her accident. He stroked his chin, his eyes thoughtful as he stared past me. Uh-huh, I understand that, but I'm surprised you're thinking along the same lines I am. I planned to go back this morning, too, just to look around. Can you ride? I grinned in relief. It has been years, but I think I remember how. None of Miss Evangeline's thoroughbreds, though. Nope, nobody but her jockeys and trainers ride them. A few minutes later, Ken and I were on horses, trotting through the pasture. He had chosen a pretty sorrel horse for me, and he rode the black horse he had been brushing. I found the saddle surprisingly comfortable. The morning was cool but sunny, the fresh smell of springtime was in the air, and I relished the feel of the breeze on my face. If it weren't for the grim destination of our ride, it would have been enjoyable. We didn't talk much, being busy with our own thoughts. I could imagine Miss Evangeline thinking she would have time for a jaunt into the pasture before meeting with Ron, asking Ken to saddle up Melanie, and perhaps thinking about the things she would include in her will. She probably rode into the pasture as she had done countless times. Ken pointed out a white board fence in the distance. "That's our racetrack," he said. "Each year, Carver Farms runs a horse in the Derby. That's where they are trained." I nodded. This farm and her horses had been Miss Evangeline's life. What would happen to it now that she was gone? Would Albert inherit it? Was he the next of kin? How about Veda? She was some sort of cousin, but would she be included? Would it stay the same, or would it be parceled out and turned into something quite different from the lovely place it was now? Something else was bothering me. Miss Evangeline went for her ride long before she was found. She must have thought she'd have time for a ride before going to meet her lawyer in town. Why didn't Melanie come home hours before she did? Ken smiled. Melanie had been taught to stand still when her rider dropped the reins. She must have stood where Miss Evangeline fell for a long time until she realized Miss Evangeline wasn't going to move. That's when she came back home. The terrain changed from smooth grass to a few pines and cedars. The ground was still wet with a heavy dew, and I noticed my horse was stepping carefully, avoiding some rocky patches. At last, Ken reined his mount to a stop. "We'd better walk the horses from here on," he said. "The ground gets rockier, not a good place to go riding." I followed Ken, my horse picking his way around rocks. "Wait." Ken held up his hand and pointed a short distance in front of us. "This is where she fell." I slid off my horse and hurried over to a jumble of rocks. "This is where you found her?" "Yes," he said. "She was lying on those rocks." I walked over to the pile of rocks and stood looking down. "Do you think her head hit them and that's what caused her death?" He nodded, his mouth a hard, grim line. "Yes, it must have been. I came back with the ambulance attendants and the sheriff and Chief Morris last night to show them where she was." "I don't understand one thing," I said, searching Ken's face. Why did Miss Evangeline ride Melanie onto this rough stretch of ground? Why didn't she stay on the smooth pasture grass?
I wondered that too, Ken said. But if Melanie had been spooked by something, she probably was hard for Miss Evangeline to hold back. Melanie ran, then she bucked and threw her off.
Glancing at Ken, I found him watching me.
Melanie was terrified of wild hogs, and we've had some trouble with them lately, rooting under fences to get to the crops, so I guess it's possible that one caused her to panic, he said.
I really don't know what I'm looking for, I said. Maybe I just wanted to see the place where she died, try to feel a little of what she felt as she took her last ride. We searched, eyes to the ground, walking in ever-widening circles, but we didn't find traces of hog tracks or anything that might have scared Miss Evangeline's mare. The ground was plenty torn up. In addition to the tracks Ken's horse and Miss Evangeline's had made yesterday, there were the tire tracks of the ambulance and the sheriff's truck. Ken walked back to his mount, put his foot in the stirrup, and swung up.
I don't like it here, he said. Are you ready to go?
I don't much like it either, I agreed.
Yes, I'm ready. I probably shouldn't have come, but thank you for guiding me. It seems so unreal to me that she died last night. I was looking forward to talking with her again. Now that'll never happen.
Ken shook his head.
No. It never will. Do you want to tell me what you were really doing here last night? Or had you and Miss Eva cooked up some deep, dark secret?
She didn't want anybody to know about it, at least for now. I'm sure it won't be long, though, before everyone knows why she asked me here. I wonder if I hadn't come the night before, the night she first talked to me, if she'd still be alive today.
You've really got my curiosity going, Ken said as we turned our horses back toward the barn. I don't see how anything she said could have resulted in Melanie running away with her. But, as you said, maybe before long, everybody will know your secret.
My horse suddenly shied, and I grabbed the saddle horn to keep my seat. A rabbit darted out from a clump of cedars that I hadn't noticed earlier. Wasn't it strange to have a cedar thicket just sprouting out of the pasture? I reined my horse closer to get a better look. Without dismounting, I glanced at the ground. Scrub cedars, briars, and sumac bushes crowded together. The grass looked scuffed, and in the dirt, I noticed some prints. Could they be footprints? I was still staring at them when Ken rode up.
Find anything interesting? He asked.
I pointed toward the disturbed rocks and partial prints. Why would a person be out here among these trees? I asked.
He shrugged. Beats me. I wouldn't think anybody would have any business here. Maybe Tyler was here for some reason or another.
I nodded. Maybe. Wait a moment, Ken. I'm going to snap a picture. Aiming my camera at the scuffed area, I zoomed in for a close-up and pushed the button.
So you think this is important enough to show the sheriff? Ken asked.
I nodded.
Could be.
I want to look at the photo more closely when I get home. I didn't tell Ken, but I doubted I would share my find with Cade. At least, not yet. He had told me I shouldn't be in on this investigation into Miss Evangeline's death, if indeed there was to be an investigation. So far, everyone accepted her death as an accident. But I wasn't sure. Not sure at all.